Amen. We'll go ahead and say a word of prayer, and then we'll jump in this lesson for tonight. Father God, we just bless your name and we honor you. Make sure your phone's on mute. Father God, we just bless you and we honor you. And we just thank you for all things. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for that. We thank you for the Son always, and we acknowledge him. We just thank you for his obedience to you and is the Savior of the world. We thank you for your Spirit that lead and guide us in truth. And again, we just thank you for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. I want to share with you guys an incident that happened to me on my hospital visit today, and from that I want to just go in some things that's in harmony with that, so that we can understand how we must operate, and you know, just a lot of things we can learn from, and we're always growing. Don't ever think that you know, that you know it all or have gotten to the point to where you understand all things. I mean, I've been at this for, you know, 30 some years, and I'm still learning, still coming into understanding of some things. And I just figure, at this point, as long as y'all, you know, tarry and I'm still here, you know, remaining here in earth, I'll constantly be learning and growing. I'm always looking to continue to grow. So I go to my hospital visit today, my appointment today, and I check in, and when I check in, I go and take my seat, and the seat that I sat in, there was a round table to my left, right next to me, and that table had a purse sitting on it. Well, on the other side of that table was a guy sitting in that chair, and as soon as I sit down, I started, you know, messing with my phone to access the internet, you know, that's associated with the hospital, you know, so I get the free Wi-Fi. And as soon as I start doing that, all of a sudden my piece leaves. And I'm like, okay, what is going on in here for my piece to leave me like this? Well, as soon as I thought, okay, what's going on? This guy grabbed the purse that's sitting right next to me. I mean, it was close enough to me. I could have just reached over there and grabbed it. And he was close enough to it where he could do the same thing. And he reached over and grabbed the purse. And when he grabbed the purse, he put it, you know, his closest arm to me was his right arm. His right arm was closest to my left arm. The table was in between us. Well, when he grabbed the purse, he took the purse and wrapped it around his left arm, you know, farthest away from me. And when he did, I immediately responded by standing up, grabbing my chair, and turning it all the way completely away from him to the point to where my back was facing him. And I sit there and just kept, you know, messing with my phone. And it probably wasn't a minute or so later, they came out and called me in, you know. And Yah is giving me favor with those people and you know, the nurses and the doctors and the different things like that. And one of the things they always say to me, they say, you know, you are the nicest person that comes in here. And it was like, you know, everyone, you know, always talk about how they enjoy serving you and different things like that. And they, you know, they talk about how, you know, how you're respectful. And I try my best to respect, you know, the nurses, the doctors, the techs, anybody that come in. You know, I address them, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And when they finish doing what they're doing, I always respond with thank you, you know, just to show that I appreciate, you know, what they do, you know, what they do. And so when the guy came out, he said, how you doing, Lon? You know, and they just call me first name basis because, you know, we have that kind of relationship with the, you know, I have that kind of relationship with the doctors and nurses and stuff like that. So the whole time coming down the hall, everybody's speaking and waving and stuff like that. And so when he called me in, the guy, I had left this piece of paper that I have to take with me when I go back. And I turned around to get the piece of paper, and I'm looking at him from my peripheral vision. You know, not looking at him directly, but I can see him. And he's looking funny now because he's seeing how this nurse is responding, his male nurse, how he's responding to me and how I'm responding back to him. And he hears, or I'm going to say it for lack of a better way to put it, he sees a different tone, or he sees something in me from just my tone of voice and how I'm reacting with the nurse. And so I could tell as I'm picking up this paper and looking at him from my peripheral vision. You gonna take it easy today, boy? Okay, now I'll let you know everything is all right. That don't mean you get to cut up. And so, all my grandkids on every tape I've ever had in my life, kids and grandkids. First message I ever preached, how he tried to get up on the stage with me, and they wouldn't let her get on the stage, and the whole time I was preaching, you could hear in the background hollering, Daddy! Daddy! The whole message. Well, anyhow, this guy, he sees my character just from how the nurse is reacting to me, and I'm responding to the nurse, how we're responding to one another. And he could tell in the tone of my voice that, okay, this guy's nothing like what I thought he was to make me grab this purse. And so I felt from the actions that I took, it was a conviction that came over him. When I went to the back. But what he didn't realize, and I'm just, you know, I like being transparent with you guys because I think it helps to understand some of the subject matters that I'm dealing with. What he didn't realize is my mindset. Now, what I mean by my mindset, I'm talking about the mindset the mindset that I didn't have, I'll just stick with that. The mindset that I didn't have as of now. He didn't realize my my mentality from his actions, because if he had caught me back in the day when I didn't know, when I didn't know Christ, he'd have some serious problems. And to show you how serious a problem he would have had, my mindset is like this. If I want that purse, I'm willing to take his arm. It will literally take his arm. If I want that purse, you wrap that purse around your arm, and Lon, that old Lon, really want your purse, you finna have an arm missing. I'm gonna walk off with your arm in that purse. That's my mentality, and I was just sharing some things with Deanna. I said, Deanna, I said, you know, my mindset was before my transformation, before the renewing of my mind, my mindset, you know, I've shared some things with you, you know, about it a little bit. My mindset is I was easygoing, wouldn't bother anybody, but I was very dangerous if things presented itself to cause that to come out, to the point to where, you know, I'm not proud of this, but to the point to where there were people who were messing with a family member, and the information got to me, and they didn't, you know, information got to the rest of the family, and the family was talking about it and stuff, and talking about going down and different things like that. And y'all bear with me, I'm a little dry because I had my stomach drain. And different family was talking about going down, you know, to address the issue and stuff like that. Well, I wasn't saying nothing. When everybody was talking about, you know, hey, let's just go down there, I wasn't saying nothing. And the reason why I wasn't saying nothing is because I was planning on going down in the middle of the night and pipe bomb the house. Come on back to Dallas in the middle of the night. Because that's my mindset. My mindset has always been extreme. I don't do nothing normal. My strength was not normal. As an athlete, I wasn't normal. It just, I've never done anything from what a person would look at and say, oh, that's normal. No, if Lon do it, it's going to be extreme. If it's bad, it's going to be extreme. If it's good, I'm going to make my best effort to the extreme to make sure that it's operating at a standard of excellence. That's just only thing I can say to comprehend it is that's just something y'all put in my nature. And so that's why, you know, I made the comment that if I wanted that purse, I would be willing to take the owner to get what I wanted, because that arm or that purse being wrapped around that arm was not something that was going to change my mind or stop me from accomplishing what I wanted to do. You know, and I'm like, I wouldn't rob purses. You know, I'd rob banks. So if Lon going to jail for stealing money, trust me, it's going to be some big time money. That boy went up in Fort Knox and tried to rob Fort Knox. And you're going to be extreme. If I do it, it's going to always be extreme. And so with that in mind, you know, I was thinking about something and I was like, okay, how do I, address some things, you know, to the church so that we can all leave out of here becoming better people and also have a better understanding. And the Spirit of Yah gave me some things, and I just want to share it. With you. We'll look at 2 Corinthians 6 verse 4. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. It says, "Be ye not unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Now, I'll give you a reason why I took my chair and turned it in the opposite direction. Because when that incident happened, I was looking at someone who was operating in unrighteousness, because that individual had already a preconceived judgment of my character and what type of person that I was. And so for me just sitting in the chair, the individual looked at me as being a thief. And when that individual looked at me as being a thief, I immediately understood by the Spirit that I was dealing with an unrighteous man. Okay? Now, most people, and I'm going to say it this way for lack of a better way to put it, most people would be thinking, okay, what would Jesus do? I just would have showed him love and different things like that. There's a time and a place for everything. And with it being a time and a place for everything, there's a time to consider that and say, I'm just going to show the love of Yah. Or there's a time when there need to be a rebuke. And that rebuke was me taking my chair and turning it completely the opposite and sitting with my back to him. Because now it puts it in a position now where his judgment toward me allowed me to make a righteous judgment toward him. Because when I sit down in that chair, my approach to that man was a clean slate. I didn't sit down next to that man saying, well, I wonder what kind of fool is this, or anything, you know, anything along those lines. When we operate in righteousness, we are looking for opportunities to see right things in everybody we come into contact with. But then at the same time, there's that old saying that I have, that when a person show me what they are, I believe it. And so because of that person's mindset, I knew I was sitting beside someone that I was unequally yoked with. And I was like, now I guarantee you this individual, if I had asked or someone else had asked, are you a Christian? He would have said, yeah. Do you believe that you know, Christ return or you know, if you die or whatever, do you believe you go on to heaven? I guarantee you the individual would have said, yeah. But yet, that mentality lets us know what type of individual this person really is. And we got to be wise enough to know how to handle situations when they are presented to us like that. Verse 14 again says, "Be ye not unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" I was like, the reason why I turned my chair completely around, because I was letting him know by the Spirit, we are two different type of people, and there is no fellowship that can come between us. Because I'm one way and you are another. And the way things manifested, it clearly identified who was righteous and who was unrighteous. Because when the nurses came out and the people that were familiar with me, they all started, you know, saying things with smiles on their face, and their approach was very positive. And from their approach being the way that it was, and my approach being the way that it was toward them, I was dealing with righteous people, and they were dealing with a righteous person. So, and because of that, it caused him to realize, wait a minute, I made an unjust judgment toward this individual. And the conviction was there, but he didn't know how to say I'm sorry or I apologize. And I was just like, okay, I'm just going to let my response and the standard of righteousness whereby I live be the witness to you. And it may not be for my benefit, but the next time someone sit by you and that purse is on the table, you won't have the mindset to reach and grab that purse because you think you're sitting beside a thief. I'm going to do this for somebody else, not me. I'm going to make this sacrifice for somebody else, not me.
Is this also an example of the lesson of learn to answer nothing?
Yes. I didn't say nothing to him. All I did was grab my chair and just turn it in the opposite direction to make it clear to him that it wasn't that I was saying to him, I don't want to have anything to do with you. What I was saying to him is, you made an unrighteous judgment, and because you made that unrighteous judgment, I'm going to turn my chair completely around to let you know I have no interest in what you think I have interest in. So it wasn't, I didn't turn it around and say, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. I turned it around and said, this is what you think. And since you think this, I'm going to turn my chair completely around to make you comfortable. Because I know what I am. And when people came out, they started acknowledging me in a manner to confirm what I know that I am. And conviction came over him. He was like, man, I grabbed that purse. And from all signs and the communication he's having with these nurses, that this is a pretty nice guy. And he's also intelligent. Each one of us has to learn that there are some people who at that particular moment, mindset may make it impossible for us to yoke up with. May be impossible for you to witness the love of Yah to them. You know, it may be impossible to do certain things with these people that have that mindset, that type of mindset, to make a judgment about you that is nowhere close to the character that you have. Verse 14 again, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? I was light. I was like, I ain't got no business dealing with this. This is darkness. Verse 15. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? I was like, this guy has no connection with anything that I am. Belief, character. Yeah. I'll just stick with that. Belief or character. Has no connection whatsoever. You have to be a low down person of character to do something like that. And this individual is sitting right next to you, and you grab the purse and wrap it around your arm.
It's usually a telling sign too when it comes to that kind of stuff, because a person whose mindset doesn't go that way, they don't even think about that. But a person that will, they'll project that onto somebody else.
Yes. And when I run into a type of person with that kind of character, the lesson we just had, I ain't going to say a word. I ain't going to cast that pearl before there was that swine. That character, that person's character was so low that if I had shared some things of the kingdom with that individual, he wouldn't have received it. So the way that I handled it, it just allowed my character to speak for itself. Look here, man, I mean you no harm. And I'm going to turn my chair around to let you know that I don't mean you any harm. Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of Yah with idols? For ye are the temple of the living Yah. As Yah has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Yah, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yah, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yah Almighty. Me taking that chair and turning it completely where my back was facing him was me fulfilling the scripture or obeying the scripture while I was saying, okay, I gotta sit here, but I'm gonna sit in a manner that makes it clear that I'm separate from you. I'm not like you. And you're not like me. Because if we were alike, if we were in agreement, it would have been a pleasurable experience. But the turning of the chair is symbolic for saying, be ye separate. I'm separated from your wickedness. Therefore, your wickedness will not influence me. And you better thank Yah that I'm not that old man. That's why when we look at the next chapter, Yah lets us know from the things that we just covered. He said, having therefore these promises, what we just read, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Yah. Yes.
Hey, on the last lesson, it kind of ties in for the last lesson on what you taught me. You said that the scripture be quick to listen, so to speak, but slow to anger. You didn't react to that anger, and you didn't say anything, but you did exactly, you was operating in the spirit. So, you know, it's, and what you read just now, it's going to hand in hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 1 again says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. That was a time that Lon could admit his flesh was filthy. I was carnal. I was dangerous and I knew it. And so through being redeemed by Christ and the transforming of the mind, it has cleansed me from all that filthiness. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Not only is our carnal flesh or things we can do with the flesh filthiness, all of us can tell some stories of some things that we're not proud of that we did with this physical body. But then it says also the spirit. Our mind was filthy. So when we cleanse ourselves from these things by the leading of the Spirit, it perfects holiness in the fear of Yah. It is perfecting holiness in the fear of Yah. I said that. Then verse 2 said, "Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." Now, when we look at this here, verse 2, Paul here, we know the things that he did. He killed Christians. I mean, Paul did some wild stuff, man, before his spirit was cleansed. Paul did some crazy stuff, man. He was killing Christians, all these different things. But when he was cleansed and when he started walking in perfection as far as holiness is concerned, in the fear of Yah, he made this statement. And you can go back and look at scriptures and you can say, well, that's not true. He did wrong men. He was there when Stephen was stoned. Paul did wrong men. He did corrupt men. He was going around killing Christians and arresting them, putting them in jail. You know, and he goes and said, we have defrauded no man. But when you look at verse 2, what I love about it, yeah, there are some things that he did, but Paul had been so cleansed by cleansed from all of his filthiness that his mindset had got to the point he was like, I ain't done nothing wrong. I tell you things that I've done are things that I was willing to do, but yet I tell you those things so that you can understand how far Yah has cleansed this flesh and this spirit. Has cleansed my flesh and my spirit. Man, my flesh and my spirit was terrible at one time. And yet through the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of Yah, Yah has cleansed me from all of that filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now I can make a statement and say, man, if you had called me back in the day, I would have took your arm and that purse. But now with my mindset the way that it is now, there's no way I could do something so evil. It makes it clearer how far Yah has brought this fool, man. Now, with this fool in mind, you think about your foolishness. And you said, and you think about it, you said, man, I remember the stuff I would do in my flesh. I remember the stuff I would do as far as my mind is concerned. There was a way I did things and the way that I thought and stuff like that, man. And I don't think like that anymore. I don't do those things anymore. I don't even have a desire. So just like Paul, even some things that I've done in the past, I can look myself in the mirror and honestly judge myself and say, "Yah, you clean me from all that filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Therefore, like Paul, I have wronged no man. I'm innocent. You're innocent." Verse 2 again, "Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." Because Yah is working in us, and we're working on our salvation with fear and trembling, no one can hold anything over our heads. Because if they realize that we're striving for perfection, we're striving to perfect holiness in the fear of Yah. If they realize that, they would understand that, okay, anything that anyone is able to point out, Yah has cleansed us from it. We're walking this thing out on a daily basis. And so I don't wake up in the mornings and feeling guilty. Because everything I've been guilty of, Yah has cleaned it up. By His Spirit, Christ has made it possible. So I don't have no guilt. I don't have no, I guess guilt is just a good way to put it. I don't have no guilt concerning anything. My heart is clear. My mind is clear. Mind and heart, same thing. It's clear because I have a Redeemer who is good at cleaning me up. We have been washed with the watering of the Word. The more we understand and grow in the Scriptures, the more the filthiness is going to be removed. And to continue to stay at bay. Verse 2 again. "Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." Verse 3. "So I speak not this to condemn you. For I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glory of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." Again, when Yah has cleansed us from all filthiness by His Spirit, there is a comfort that we live daily. I live in comfort every day. I didn't say there was no tribulation. I didn't say there were not any trials and tribulations. But what I am saying is because of who we live for, I am filled with comfort regardless of what the day may bring. I can walk guiltless every day. And my prayer for that guy is that that he comes into the knowledge of the true power of Yah, and as a result of it, it cleanses him from his filthiness. That's my prayer for him. dude, you need to be cleansed from your filthiness. Because what you did was filthy. It was filthy of the flesh and filthy of the spirit. What you did was just filthy. And my prayer for you is that Yah perfect his holiness in you in the fear of Yah. So remember this, as I close. No one has anything to say, make a comment. Remember this. Each day, strive in a manner where Yah can always be glorified in you. And it may not be the same way all the time. He may want to use you to be a witness to someone by saying certain things as he leads. He may want to use you to be a witness to that same, or I don't want to say the same. He may want to use you to be a witness to that someone by just being an example. By not saying anything. Righteousness can be manifested through what we say and also what we do. Righteousness can be manifested in what we say and also what we do. Righteousness can be manifested in what we say and also what we do. And as we dealt with lesson previously, sometimes it may not be the right thing to do to say something. And it takes, you know, it takes us just allowing the Spirit to lead us on how we should respond. That was the Spirit that led me to take that chair and turn it around.
That's what I was going to ask earlier.
Yeah.
Just let the Spirit lead you on how to interact with those things. Sometimes it may lead you to say something. Sometimes it may lead you to do something different.
Yeah. Whichever way. And I'm glad you mentioned that, but you know, and it's important to be open-minded enough to let Yah guide us in how he want to deal with each circumstance. Because not every circumstance is going to be the same. And that's the problem with the saints. The saints think every circumstance is the same. So they're always trying to say, you know the Lord. You need to be saved. Same old reaction. Same old thing. And if we all be honest, because we all have not been where we are now. And if you be honest, there have been times when the so-called saints have, you know, what I call pour Jesus all over you kind of deal, and you didn't receive it. It's been time when so-called saved folks shared the gospel with me, and I was like, I don't hear that.
I call it beating the fruit off the tree.
Yeah.
Fruit ain't ripe. But you beat it off the tree before it can ripen.
Tell you, man.
Damaging to the fruit.
Yeah. And I was like, I just sit there and be like, no, I ain't want to hear. You want to be saved? No, I don't.
So I've got two questions. Is this an example of, like, the scriptures say, he that winneth souls is wise? And also, is this like an example of where the scriptures say, you know, Paul sowed the seed, Apollos water, and God gave the increase?
Yes.
What you did may just be in a seed sown for him, right? Mm-hmm. Never meant for you to be the one water, never meant for you to be the one increase. But you follow the leading of the Spirit, and the seed is sown. Now you see, okay, that behavior that I did probably wasn't a good behavior. Mm-hmm. A seed sown. Mm-hmm. Somebody else can come along and water that seed that you planted. And you may not never know about it, right? Mm-hmm. But somebody else can come along and water that seed. And at the end of the day, God can get the increase.
Correct. True in both sayings. He that winneth souls is wise. So I say, like I just heard it in the spirit. From my reaction to him today, his soul is not as close to hell as it was before he met me. As in reference to water the seed. That seed was corrupt and unrighteous before I sat down. And by the leading of the Spirit of Yah, Yah just allowed that circumstance and my response to him to put a little water on that seed. I never looked at him again once I turned around, but when I got that piece of paper, I could see him in my peripheral vision, but he didn't know that I was looking at him. Y'all know what I mean by peripheral vision. You're looking over him, but I'm looking over him, but I'm actually looking at my brother. That's peripheral vision, where you could, it'll give the impression that you're looking at one thing, but in reality, you're looking at something else. And so I was looking at the paper, but I was, but my peripheral vision had him in view, and I could see the look on his face, and I could feel the conviction. Like you said, Elder, I pull the water and see.
I think the danger in what a lot of people do is they feel like they got to be the one that plant the seed and they got to water it and they got to stay with it and do it. You know, you just let the Spirit lead you. You may, that one encounter may have been all that y'all needed out of you for that particular plant.
Yeah.
Somebody else can do all of the other things if it's going to mature into what God wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. If somebody as unrighteous as he was would have sit there and he would have done that, ain't no telling what would have went down in there today.
Is that like the example of heaping coals from the context of what we understand? Like, okay, you didn't have any ill will towards him, but that action that you did is something that can light his fire to mm-hmm. make a change in the right direction.
Yeah, that's exactly. That move brought put a heap of coals on his head in order to bring a conviction to strive toward righteousness. Man, I did that guy wrong. I can't be doing that. All right, that's all I got. Any questions, comments? Okay, go ahead and pray and we'll be dismissed. Father Yah, we just thank you for giving us the wisdom to move by your Spirit. And we just want to be led and guided in every facet of our life. And we thank you for removing all the filthiness that was in our flesh and our spirit, and you created in us a clean heart, and you have renewed the right spirit within us. Father, allow us by the leading of your Spirit to continue, and our goal is to strive and to continue in that righteousness. And we bless you for that. Bless you for giving it to us. We bless you for being called your sons and daughters. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.